Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny from the Skeleton Boys.
There it is. We're done.
Teases, all teases for amazing things in the future, I imagine.
Thank you for listening.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review Seance. As always, John will give us the plot.
Seance.
In five words, we'll give our first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to go in and talk about another short film that we saw. It is spooky season. The short films are out and about on the interwebs.
And it is called
Seek.
Ah, yes, it is. I'm not writing that down because I couldn't remember.
Okay, so I thought that the short was called Omeletto, not called Omeletto.
That's the name of the production company, right?
Name, either the production company or the channel or series that is releasing these. I believe. I don't know. I wanted to watch Seek because of Eric Vespi. He is former film critic Quint on Any Cool News. He left before that whole shit show, and he's been bouncing around doing film reviews. Is now a co-host of the King Cast, the Stephen King podcast, a very popular podcast, and he produced his. He's right out of Texas, out of Austin. And he produced this short film.
As popular as the Skeleton Boys?
I consider him, friend of the show. Co-worker. What did he call it?
I wouldn't call him an acquaintance because I feel like we're more than that.
He is a... Yeah.
We're good with words. Professional courtesy... guy.
Yeah, weird.
Anyway, we're the Skeleton Boys.
We're the Skeleton Boys.
We're a horror movie podcast.
And he produced his first little short, Seek. And this is it. He wrote and produced it. And what you think, John?
I cannot wait for this video game to come out. I'm like so fucking stoked to play it. I swear I know how to win, I think. The key is in the weird sort of, like, I want to say mini playground setting, right? Outside of the bathroom?
Yeah.
Right? No, I thought it was pretty good. Like, everything about it, like, the elements. I'm going to say the production design was fucking awesome. I thought it was shot pretty fun. It wasn't until, like, and I'm sorry, but it wasn't until the fucking effects... come into full focus where I was like, okay. this little drawing of a ghost is killing people.
So yeah, less is more than you thought.
Yeah.
In terms of whatever.
I mean, yes. Because yeah, for it to be just like, it looked like a charcoal drawing of like, I don't know. it just didn't do it for me. When I saw whatever this ghost was, I guess. But I enjoyed everything else about it. I thought it was fun. I was creeped out. I was like, oh, yeah, until I saw it.
Yeah, I liked it, too. I thought it was really well made. The production, I thought, was really tight. I thought the short was about 6 minutes, and it was shorter than the one we reviewed last week, but I felt it conveyed their ideas better and more precisely, and I thought they definitely used all their whole 6 minute Yeah, they use their whole like 6 minute running time. So just quickly kind of just describe what it is. From IMDb, it says, after driving all night, two sisters come across a dilapidated roadside park. It reveals itself to be more than meets the eye when one sister stumbles upon a mischievous resident inhabiting it.
Oh, I do have a question though. Why would the ghost or whatever it is write don't underneath the phone that she has to pick up? I feel like that counterplays the game the ghost wants to play.
Okay, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And why does this ghost demon thing like the sun also? Question mark? Because when you finally see it at the end and it's like full figure, it's like right in front of like the mini window that the sun is shining through. I have questions.
It seems to want to just play this quote unquote game with
people that need to take a shit or a piss.
Anytime anybody enters the facility, right? They need to take a shit or the bathroom.
Ah, perfect time to play head and go see. You need to take a dump, don't you?
I thought the script was really tight. I thought the scares were pretty good. I thought the sort of built up the mysteries were solid. I really didn't have any issues with this. I thought it was pretty solid, pretty good. You know.
And again, I liked it until I saw the thing at the end. I wish I had not had seen it. I think I would have been okay without seeing it.
Mm-hmm. I would like more explanation as to what it was. Well, yeah,
that's like, what I'm trying to avoid. What is it like? Saying, I think, like now that I saw the thing, I'm like, okay, now I need to know more about it because otherwise, it just like, did this girl get abandoned here a long ass time ago and just decided to kill every person that walked in? Because it seemed like it already killed like 6 people. So I'm assuming it hasn't, unless nobody ever comes to this bathroom, which it looks like because nobody cleans it. Which, you know, begs another question. Like, how come nobody comes by? Like, the city is doing a terrible job, whatever city this is. Way to go, America.
Austin. Oh, yeah. Looking in your direction.
There you go.
I think if you look at this movie like as short as a proof of concept, I think they do a good job of conveying the necessary ideas for the type of movie that they're trying to make. Does that make sense? Like, I thought there's definitely like suspense and horror was done really well, matter-of-factly, and I think it did a better job of it in half the time than the other short movie we reviewed. Daughters of the Witch, and I think they had like 11 minutes, and I thought that one was a lot more. We and I both were kind of had more questions. That one was a little more abstract, I thought, and more open ended,
and maybe gave too much information, so that's why I begged more questions. You know, this one was very. It just was happening, and then you just had to figure it out as you went. But it didn't take long to figure out what was going on. Like, oh, shit, okay, like, this person is totally fucked. Because they're showing, which I thought was a clever exposition sort of thing, where she's watching the video of the previous person that got killed. Because the ghoul or whatever that child ghost is... Like to fuck with her, like had charged this other person's phone and kept the phone plan up and then like, you know, dumped. I'm just kidding. No, that was really fun though. Watching like the video of like exactly what's going on as she's going, I thought it was really cool.
It's clever. Yeah. It's really smart and really well, it's an idea that is well executed, I think. So
nice, yeah,
pretty well.
All right. I would give it.
All right.
I don't know. 6 out of 10 for short films.
6 out of 10. I agree. I liked it a little more than you, I think. I'll do 7. Let's do 7 out of 10 for me.
There you go.
And there it is.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, wait.
I didn't watch anything else. This is all I watched.
All right.
I lied. I never saw Seance. I don't even know what it is.
No, now we have to get to Seance, the meat of our podcast. And I'm a vegan, so this is exciting for me to get to the meat.
I am really curious about what you thought about this movie. And
I'm gonna guess it's gonna be not what you expect.
Yep. What? I don't know what to expect now.
I was indifferent.
Let me guess what you think, and then we'll come back. My feeling would be that you didn't like it. That would have been my first feeling. You didn't like it. Maybe you thought it was too slow. But, that was before. I recommended it thinking those thoughts. So now that I saw it, I think you liked it, but you didn't like the ending. But I don't want to.
Who even knows? I don't think anybody's going to know the answer to that. Not even me, and it's my head.
All right, let's just. All answers will be revealed very soon. God, but first, gee golly, I hope John, so. Give us.
I don't know. Fuck, I'm scared. I don't know what the answer is.
I know.
I don't know. All right, what?
All right. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For the short seek.
Oh, shit.
I have best video game trailer ever. There you go. That's it. Okay, now moving on to seance. For
seance.
Seance. Being reviewed by the Skeleton Boys. I have 3 5-word movie summaries. One is actually an alt title.
Okay, those are the revealing ones. So
maybe not.
All
coming
right.
In at number 3, New Girl doesn't help diversity.
That's just the fuck. Okay.
I mean, at least they let the only other person of color live, right? Coming in at number 2.
Okay.
Mean Girls meets Teen Slasher.
Okay.
Which might be revealing because...
I don't know if it's a good thing or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait. I don't know whether or not you like Mean Girls. Do you like Mean Girls? Well, no, don't answer that. Don't answer that. Continue. Just continue. I don't know if you like Mean Girls.
I don't know. I'll ask. Coming in, number 1, I have...
Okay.
Halloween 9, Another Confusing Tale. But what does it all mean?
Those plot summaries were everywhere. I have no way to decipher what you first thought.
Well, it's kind of like this film.
I wish there was
it?
Some way of knowing.
Who's to say what this film's supposed to be?
Oh, I knew it. I called it.
Yeah, you're definitely right. It had me in the first half. I was like, you know what? This is pretty fucking fun. And then it became whatever the fuck it decided to become at the end.
Man. Do I know that Skeleton Boy
along
or not?
Along with all that excellent acting by our bad guys, I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
It was like cringeworthy, especially because I'm not saying I dislike Suki Waterhouse, but...
You dislike Suki Waterhouse.
I thought she was fucking fantastic in this film, but the problem was she was like far superior of an actor than everybody else in the movie. It was kind of rough because
yes.
I was like, ah, mm-hmm. She's like fucking, she's compared to everybody else. She's amazing right now. Like, you know, everybody had a hard time deciding what character they were going to play aside from like the main mean girl. And even then, I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll get to that. What were your initial thoughts?
We will definitely talk about spoilers. We got to talk about this ending. I feel like that's going to be the thing that's going to trip everybody up. The
yes.
ending of this movie. But we'll get to that. Let's judge it from before that last minority gets murdered.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
up to one of the other minority girls that get murdered. I think this is, I really like this movie. I like the initial setup. Let's see, how do I explain it? So this movie definitely is a really smart setup. Easy setup, I think. Put a group of girls in a school and then the ghost shit happens, right? That's kind of like setup of it.
Wasn't that what made it extra confusing towards the end, though?
Okay. We'll get there. We'll definitely get there.
And first person that dies. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree. But we'll get there. But I thought this movie definitely is... Simon Barrett directed and wrote and directed this, and he's kind of been a hot, you know, writer, director for horror movies. He wrote Your Next. He wrote The Guest. He wrote a segment and kind of like a lead producer on the last VHS 94 movie.
I think all of them.
And
if I'm not mistaken, all of them. I think he's one of the main VHS guys.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So he definitely has like he's definitely in horror, right? He's definitely in the horror scene currently. And I think this is the first thing he's directed. And I was actually really impressed. As far as direction, I thought I was really impressed. I thought the writing was really solid. The setup of it was really good. I liked Suki Waterhouse. I'm not familiar with her. I have not seen her in anything before. This is the first time I've seen her. And I think in the past, you and I have talked about her.
Well, I think it's also because I've worked on a few things that she's been in. She's nice. She's a very accommodating actress. Let's put it that way.
And I feel like there were a lot of really, for the basic setup of this movie, there's a lot of easy ways he could have written this, but I thought he was making really smart choices with the writing of the Camille character. How in the beginning she doesn't really like take any shit from anybody. There's an early scene where the group of girls try to bully her, right? And that could have easily been like an easy throwaway scene, but I feel like that scene in retrospect really kind of revealed a lot about who the character was, right? Because Camille was kind of not what you would expect. She didn't take any shit from anybody. She was willing to throw a fucking punch. You know what I mean? She stood her ground, which is not what you would expect from a new girl coming to a school. So it definitely like played against type. And I thought...
Oh, so here's where I'll agree with you and also disagree. I feel like he spent a lot of time really just on her character. And that's where I'll leave that right now. I feel like she was the only well-written character until the end.
I thought that everybody was quickly, in the very first scene, they're doing this whole game where they're going to, trying to do like a
seance?
Like a seance or like a calling in the mirror.
Yeah, no, it's a seance.
In the mirror, and I thought in that scene he did a really good job of quickly easily identified characters you find in most horror movies. And I thought they did a really good job of distilling those and identifying those characters really well in that scene. And then, of course, there's like a murder that happens that kind of starts the whole kind of story off. And I thought that he made a lot of really smart choices in the story. And I feel like each turn, I was surprised about a lot of the characters' decision because I thought I had him pegged from that first scene, right? So, and I thought he was really smart about that. This is clearly a guy who's seen movies, early 90s movies, because I think that's kind of what this movie feels like.
Yeah.
It feels like Scream. It feels like The Craft. It feels like I Know What You Did Last Summer. It feels like these movies, but I think smarter way. I think much more intentionally. I think they're much smarter and definitely comes from a place of understanding caricatures or like characters that you see in these movies and then slowly start.
I agree. I wouldn't say smarter. I would say more evolved. Right. Yeah. That way. Cause it's not,
right. I agree. That's a good better.
Like these characters any smarter than the characters from those movies, but it's just more evolved. Otherwise, it'd just be like, you know, if you made any of those movies today, you'd be like, this was okay. You know, but since they are classic, I guess they're classic now.
Right.
Oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. Lame. Which, by the way, folks, if you haven't seen the new trailer movie, it looks pretty fucking good. The new Scream movie. It's back. And we got all the old favorites. We got Courtney Cox. We got David Arquette. We got Miss Scream Queen. The love of my life, Neve Campbell. Neve Campbell and Frieza Balk. And they're both
pretty, yeah. Love of my life. Yeah.
Oh, he likes goth looking chicks. But...
yeah. No. Whatever. I'm not going to apologize.
Certain era. Okay.
Unfortunately, I think my problems with this movie is the last like half hour, because I think even though he did a good job of peeling the onions on some of these characters really well, he made a lot of the same mistakes on the movies that he was referencing. And I think the ending is, the reveal of what's actually happening is out of nowhere.
Spends too much time on it too, right?
And not...
Yes, yes. It drags so hard. Spends
way too much time on it. When it should have been like, boom, boom, boom. Like, it should have been a lot more like...
The beats should have been faster, like shorter. Like, yeah.
I felt like it hit... It's on a slow ascend for a lot of this movie, and then it just like plateaus, and then we're just flatlined for like the majority of the movie. Like, and it never gets any bigger or better than where it was.
Yes, exactly. And I'm going to go back to the acting. It's like, I'm not trying to like shit on these people that were trying to act, but like they didn't have any real direction as far as their character went. They're like, oh, you're bad people, so act like bad people. And this was their idea of a bad person. And it's like, obviously they're young, you know, it's a young person's perspective of what like a psychotic person is that doesn't know or hasn't read. I don't know. It was just those moments where they start talking dragged on for so long. I was like uninterested. Again, they had me the first half of the movie. I was like, man, this movie's fucking cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like they did a really smart job with the mystery aspect. And I think this movie is definitely like mystery suspense, you know, kind of horror-ish. I thought the mystery was well like plotted in the beginning, and then there's people who just start dying and dying and dying, and then it's just like process of elimination. I wasn't completely surprised by the turn of events. Because I guess it gets twisty at the end. And then I think he makes one twist, and then he made another twist, which I think doesn't work, which we'll definitely get into spoilers, which I think that it makes sense what he was trying to say and do, but I don't think he served the story that he was trying to tell us and left too many things.
Yes, and real quick, okay, you know, stop me if I'm wrong about this, because I'm all about it and I'm all for it. But doesn't it seem a little off-putting that, you know, this like, because Simon Baird's a white guy, right? Kind of wrote this very lesbian forward sort of film, right? You know, there's like something a little off-putting for me about it, which I'm all about inclusion and all that stuff, but I don't know. I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. Were you not? I think that could have.
I didn't mind the end. Yeah. I didn't mind the end. There's just other moments. Yeah. There's just other moments like where one of the girls is walking to the shower. One of the other victims. I mean, they're all women except for like a couple of men. She's walking towards the shower, and then like she's getting teased by somebody else, and then she's like checking her out, and then she like walks into the shower, and I just kept thinking like, oh, didn't a white guy write this? You know, like every time I saw moments like that, I was like, oh, okay, cool, but I don't know. It's kind of tough when it's like people want to be like, well, I want to be inclusive, but it's like, well, it's not in my head, it's not your place to be the person making these inclusive decisions or like, you know. But with that aside, I thought the first half of the movie was a lot of fun.
Right. And I, just real quickly, I'll say that I think the ending I thought was, well, we'll talk about it in spoilers, but two characters kind of end up romantically involved. Two women become romantically involved. And I think it could have been, I think they play it more as a, oh, they're kissing, kind of like a surprise. When in fact they could have been more delicate or like nuanced or sensitive.
That on top of like, obviously one of these people is a liar and not necessarily the best person. Right. Why? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Love's confusing, John.
You always go for the bad person, right? You know, she should have walked out with a leather jacket.
I think they could have, for the two characters, I think they should have built that relationship. I think if they spent more time on that relationship, that it was going to be romantic.
Which they kind of do.
Throughout the story, it would feel less.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yes and no. But I feel like a lot of the scenes they share together were very intimate, and but not sexual. Right. Not like they were into each other.
Yeah.
It was more like...
But I will say, the exactly, two strongest actors in the entire
I agree with that. Yeah. I like both those individuals. And but I feel like for... The one that wasn't lying. I know we're talking just in circles, but the one that wasn't lying for the other individual, that came out of nowhere. Right? Like, no, I mean, we could go into I'd rather just give our, you know, impressions of the movie and then, you know what I mean? And then we can kind of just go everywhere we want with it, talk about anything. Unless you want to go into spoilers now, and then we can just spend the rest of the show just... openly talking about, because I feel like there's a lot of stuff. It's all about whether or not, to me, a lot of this movie is whether or not this mystery works. And I think it half works, if that makes sense.
Almost there. Yeah, let's just go into spoilers, because like I think there's plenty to talk about.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. It's... I still don't understand the relationship between the bad guys. I know they're lovers, but
okay.
Yeah.
Don't trust redheads. Was the redhead always has to be the killer. So, okay. So, okay. Now we can openly talk about this. Okay. So let's first do the first big reveal of this is Bethany. Bethany and
Trevor. Yeah. The maintenance guy who is the son of the headmistress, of this all-girl boarding school. Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That they have developed a relationship before this, and I just felt like this ending came out of nowhere and there was no tension built to it. I guess they try to... My first thought was, okay, they're trying to do the Scream ending, but this is not as well as a Scream ending. This is not Matthew Lillard and Skeet Ulrich. Right? This is not that big reveal that is the boyfriend and the friend the whole time. Yeah, the big surprise that there were two killers.
Oh, real quick, just to interject again. It's like, so... This was, you're right, very much influenced by Scream, which technically is another spoof on teen slashers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if that was forgotten in the process of writing this, that it was supposed to be another spoof, right? So just tried a little too hard to like mimic that and didn't kind of miss the point.
I think Simon Barrett went for clever. And I think he went for, this is the first twist, and then we'll get to the second twist of the story, right? And then there's even a third twist, I would say, that there's no ghosts, right? Quote unquote, there's no ghosts. But the first twist is that Bethany and Trevor are the ones killing each other, because Bethany, it's mentioned early that she won right. some prize and she's going on to like a school, some paper she wrote. So Bethany reveals to us that she killed the, she killed, I forget her name.
Carrie,
right? Was her name
yeah.
Carrie?
Yeah, Carrie. I'm not trying to be rude.
She killed Carrie because she plagiarized her paper.
As we do, we usually keep IMDb open on our phone so we can quickly like skim through these things. Caucasian people that are blonde haired, and when you are all thumbnailed next to each other, it's very hard to decipher which character is which.
Carrie with a K, as is Bethany plagiarizes her story, so and gets accepted into some sort of program or award, and she's getting out of that school. So she decides with her boyfriend Trevor or whoever she's with, decides to kill her so she's able to like not nobody find out about the plagiarism. So they reveal that not only did they kill Carrie, but they start to kill their own friends because once Bethany's paper is read by the rest of them, they would realize that she plagiarized it, and then she goes and kills all of them. And that there's no real seance. The seance thing was never really anything. It was, and Bethany knew that and played upon their superstitions. And conveniently, Trevor, who's lived there at that school his whole life, has all these little dugout, little escape holes, yeah, and all these little escape rooms Clue, all over yeah. this. Conveniently plotted all over this school.
Which gets a little slapsticky Clue-ish.
Yeah, so... No, I agree. Yeah. Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. So that's the big reveal, that early on, the seance that he practiced, there is no ghost. It's really Trevor, I think, was responsible for the first girl going missing, right? Because she says that chick babysitted him when he was a kid, and she was kind of a bitch. Oh, that's right.
Or he accidentally killed her. Like, he initially accidentally knocked her out. And then she started bleeding or something like that. And then he just decided to go ahead and just keep going and killed her. Something like that. Because I remember it was like trying to be like some right. sort of clever. I mean, it was fine. Like whatever that explanation was fine. But I remember it being like, oh, okay. So you just killed her. Let's like move on. I think at that point of him explaining that story, I was like, I don't care anymore about this. I get it. You're bad guys. I don't give a shit. Get to whatever's supposed to happen now. Because they talked a lot.
Yeah. And so they Scooby-Dooed it, and they just give the whole master plan up. And to me, it's over-explained and flat. I was like, really? Like, I had to literally like stop the movie and check how much time was left. I was like, really? This is it? This is all we're going to end up getting? At this point, I was super happy with... I felt the... The deaths were really pretty well done, because it was a lot of like suspense buildup. They show a quick glimpse of a masked killer and then they move on, right? It's not too gruesome. It's not too violent for violence sake. I thought it was pretty like well constructed moving on to each death, especially what's her name?
Yes.
The Yvonne. The dancer, when that thought that scene was really well done.
I was going to interject and talk about it. That was my favorite part of the fucking film.
Yeah,
I was like,
me too.
This is badass.
Really incredibly
like,
well
she
done.
She puts her headphones on, that song starts playing, she just starts dancing. I was like, this is fucking cool. Like that was a point I was like, man, if the rest of the film's like this, this film is going to be fucking, it's going to be like 8 and above for me.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Spoiler about my rating. Because that's not what happens.
Yeah, same. I really, really like that. Oh my God, that's such a like well thought out, designed scene and beautifully shot.
Beautiful, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was so well done. Really clever.
And the music was like fucking perfect. And mm-hmm. like, yeah, it was like,
And the fact that this murder was a little more violent than the other ones, I thought was appropriate enough. Like, it made sense to go as extreme as it did. Because I think she gets, like, her throat slit or something, right?
Yeah, somebody comes up, one of them goes up and, like, slashes her throat real quick.
And it was really solid. I think it was probably Trevor that did it. I think Trevor wears the brown mask. The other girl wears the other mask.
Man, I wish... Oh, yeah, her name is Stephanie Tsai, I want to say. Is that how you say her last name? S-Y? I just want to... Yeah, she was also another, like, fucking strong actress in this film. I was like, oh, man, I hope I see more of her. But, yeah, she was perfect. She also came out of Nobody.
Which, really?
I know. She played the realtor.
I don't remember. So did we quickly. See it?
Or I saw it. I don't know if you saw it. I think... You told me that you have you're not a huge fan of the Odenkirk.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not part of the Odenkirk-essence that's happening with him. No, I didn't see it. It says realtor, but yeah, no, I've never seen it.
She was great, and that scene was fucking brilliant.
That's not it. There's one more twist to be had here, right?
Oh, there's like two more.
There's a couple more. There's a couple more.
So this movie Camille doesn't know when to quit. It's real Lord of the Rings.
Camille is not Camille. We don't even get her name.
No, she's Kusnack or something. Yeah, I don't know.
She's Sucky Waterhouse for all I know.
Yeah. No, that part I kind of, you know, you kind of figure that out as the movie's going on. I kind of figured that out as the movie's going on. I was like, oh, okay. So she's clearly the new girl and she doesn't really fit in. She's also not taking shit from anybody. She's not, you know, following the same sort of like fall in line thing everybody else is doing. So what's up with her? And as things kept going, I was like, okay. I started to think she was a person killing everyone as revenge for that same girl. But then you come to find out she wasn't killing anybody. She was just there to kill the people, or she went there to figure out why her friend killed herself.
Right. So she was,
and then
she goes on to explain that she is posing as this person, Camille Meadows, and is not Camille Meadows. She's actually a friend of Carrie's, who she couldn't believe, or wanted to find out why Carrie quote unquote killed herself and took on this persona or identity. They were only friends, supposedly, right? I thought they would go more, but because of what happened at the end, the other twist, that that she's there only for revenge. And she ends up killing Bethany, killing Trevor, and getting her revenge for the murder of their friend.
I also appreciated about her character development, or not, you know, not, I wouldn't say development, because like her character is like pretty fucking established. And then that's just the person she is the entire film. Because I was curious as to why she wasn't so affected by how haunted she was the entire film, being in that room. Cause she kept getting haunted, which realistically doesn't have it has something to do with our two killers, but not really, because she is being haunted by a ghost.
I agree. I think that's where I land, but I think the movie was trying to also have it both ways in terms of, was she haunted by her friend's death, the trauma of it, or is she, where I think the film wants you to, like, leads you to, is that there's actually a haunting there in that school.
Well, because you remember the second half, like, she was, like, a little, like, she saw somebody out of the corner of the thing, and I think you're supposed to assume, like, oh, it's her friend from before, because that was, like, the ghost, whatever they call the ghost, right? Like, the ghost of her friend. But then you come to realize it's that first girl that got murdered there, that got pushed out the window. So towards like the second half, when she finally leaves and goes to, I don't want to get her name wrong, Ella Ray Smith's like dorm or whatever.
Helena.
She's not haunted when she's over there anymore. And then she even straight up says, like, that place is definitely fucking haunted. Can I stay here? And she was being haunted by the girl that previously got killed.
Yes.
And the way they kind of skimmed that is like she's always asleep and waking up. Yeah, so maybe she's just
I think it
nightmares.
Was trying to play it fast and loose with that. Yeah. I land on where I think you're getting to, where I think there actually is. She was a ghost haunting that room.
And she was kind of helping a little bit. Yeah.
But I also feel like they try to have it the other way, too, where they try to explain away how Bethany was doing something with magnets on the first Ouija thing. And you can assume that she was doing something first seance, and then she was doing another thing with the second one where they actually said Camille. Right?
But like
they,
you kind of assume that those... explain Helena's... her waking up, freaking out about the ghost, like that same ghost haunts her. She wakes up and then she wakes up to seeing her staring at the window, her that other girl that got killed. And she freaks out and then she gets up and then she looks out the direction that girl was, that had the ghost or whatever was looking, and sees a light flickering. Right. And if it wasn't for that, our hero.
Right. And so we can assume that all the light flickerings going on is Carrie. The first girl getting murdered.
I want to say so because she's also the same person that says you don't belong here. Who are you to Sookie? Because like Sookie was lying about who she was,
right?
Which was also another clue of her not being. Who
I think you're right.
She
I think they definitely. I think he was trying to misdirect you on some aspects, but I think I think at the end it's revealed she'd like waves goodbye, right? She even like waves goodbye to her.
Yeah.
Or puts her hand up to the mirror or something, right? And she Camille or whoever, fake Camille, says goodbye as well.
Or she's already like out. She's like walking away, trying to casually walk away from like her explosion. That's what it felt like. Doing the cool walk away. Helena like runs out like, you're just going to leave? And I thought that part was actually pretty cute. I was like, oh, this is funny. This is very like... oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. He's like everybody's fucking favorite 80s writer. John Hughes. It was very John Hughes. What was going on? I'm like, you're just going to leave? You're going to go or, you know?
Oh shit, leave. It is the Breakfast Club ending. Yeah.
That's why I like that. It is. Like, so, I mean, blah, blah, blah. Oh. And I was like, oh, I like this. But yeah, how she like looks at the window and then she's like waving like, oh, okay.
That is, I think you're absolutely right. I didn't catch that, but you're absolutely right. That is the Breakfast fucking Club ending where that's Molly Ringwald and Judd Nelson.
Like, so this is it? And like, well, you know, maybe I'll be back. You know,
yeah. Yeah. Even in the fucking Breakfast Club, he says something kind of smart out of the ear.
Yeah.
Something
similar. Like yeah, we'll see, but
I'll give you my earring. Yeah. Later, whatever. What do you think happened to that Judd Nelson character? Do you think he died? I think he died before high school ended. He never got to...
My guess is, and I wish they had made something like this, the sequel is he turns into the principal.
Ooh.
Because they kind of do that. I felt like Airheads was kind of Judd Nelson's like sequel to The Breakfast Club, where he becomes a suit instead of like... because he becomes a record exec in Airheads that's supposed to help them with their record deal. And he's like a sleazeball.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that too.
And this is why I think this is the John Hughes ending, which I did like that
part. It is a John Hughes ending.
I didn't like the ghosts in the window waving thing. I thought I was like, I don't know.
He's like, all right. All right, who gives a shit about
get
those?
On
this is a revenge story.
The movie's over already. Come on.
Yeah. Wrap it up. So fake Camille ends up having a love interest in Helena, which is the thing that
I would
we were
say more so the other way around. It seemed like
Helena was more into her.
Fake Camille was like real ready to just like bounce, mostly because she fucking brutally murdered two people that deserved it, but she still brutally murdered two people. Which the second one was a little weird because I was like, what the fuck was in this filing cabinet that just like straight up decapitated this like one dude?
She's like, bitch, did you see what I just did back here? Yeah. I decapitated a fucking guy and slit some girl's throat with
a light bulb. Slit. Like, she fucking found a smashed, which I thought that part was cool, where she like found the wiring that was keeping the tube lights up. Which doesn't make any sense, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
there's no logic in that. But, like, it fell, hit her in the head, and she was about to kill her, and then she got smacked in the head by, like, drywall or something.
That It becomes a little too slapsticky Coen Brothers.
That's where it gets weird.
And I was like, but no.
I did enjoy she found a broken piece of the tube light, which if anybody's ever like fucked with tube lights when you're younger, like an idiot, you know that they are full of fucking powder that you shouldn't breathe in, and they are sharp as hell. And she stabs her in the neck. And I was like, that's brutal. And
slices it across her throat, make sure to hit the main artery right under her. I know, she's definitely dead. She's not coming back. And then she decapitates Trevor as well, as her revenge for them killing her friend, Carrie. And then Helena's like, are you really going? It's like, bitch, I just killed two people. Like, and fake Camille's being super sweet about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, being charming.
Oh, not just that.
But, bitch, I gotta go.
You remember when
I got to go?
The Alice character finally comes to, and she's only talking to fake Camille, and fake Camille's like, oh, yeah, these two people, they killed everybody. And Alice was just like, oh, okay. She was knocked out the entire time. I would have been like, fuck you, what's going on? I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, apparently Alice.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that was kind of weak. Like, Alice actually heard the whole plot, Bethany and Trevor painstakingly tell fake Camille and, just fake Camille, right, at that point. That is a little kind of explaining away logic there. But,
especially for somebody that was, like, the focal point of, like, the bad person for, like, a good chunk of the film.
I think... fortunately, I think this movie gets a little too cutesy at the end.
A little bit. Even though I was there for it, only because I thought all that dragged out twist, I was like, oh, I'm tired of this. So when it came to the John Hughes ending, I was like, oh, okay, this is fun. This is leaving a better taste in my mouth before the movie ends.
Yeah. But similar to what you were saying, like, I think they could have handled that relationship better, but it felt like he's trying to throw all these like twists at you. And for some reason he decided to make this relationship a twist as well, that they're actually have feelings for each other. And that when in fact they could have just been, I hate to say it, but a little more mature about it and just handled it like two people in love. Right. Like, why did it have to be played up like a reveal? Because it kind of feels a little like, funny, right? Like, it's not,
you know,
it's not a,
you know what, film
tender moment between these
not
people.
Really, no, it's like kind of, again, like kind of a corny sort of, like, I don't know. But I will say, like, a movie that does that, in my opinion, perfectly, like a nice little ending with similar sort of characters, is From Dusk Till Dawn. You got Juliette Lewis, you got George Clooney. Juliette Lewis is like, well, you need some company, and George Clooney straight up like, you know what, I'm a piece of shit. You really don't want to get involved with me. Live your life. You're a wonderful person. I'm not. Goodbye. But
that's good. No, that's true.
But this one was trying to play too much on, like, yeah, maybe we'll see each other.
Written about. That was written by a guy that we had a bit of a word to it about earlier. Quentin Tarantino.
Well, let us know, tens of viewers or listeners at home, if you want to hear our spiel about Mr. Tarantino.
Oh, that's premium content, 100%. We're not going to give that for free.
Oh. You definitely got to listen to each of these podcasts at least three more times.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We should do that. We should just, like, openly talk about that. I had another thought. Let me see. Before we wrap up, I had another quick thought. Hopefully it comes to me.
Was it that all the girls that had glasses in this movie looked the same? Because I got confused at one point with our main villain and the first girl that died. I was like, oh, I thought she died. Right. Oh.
You're absolutely right. I think Carrie and the first girl that got murdered look so similar.
Yes.
They look completely similar. And the fact that they died like right after each other was a... I could definitely see why that would be confusing. Oh, real quick. Well, I was going to quickly mention again. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, what? No, go ahead.
Well, I felt like Carrie was a little more, even though she was with the group, she didn't necessarily, she was a little bit outcast of the group. I felt like they picked on her.
Yeah, like she wanted to be a part of the group and they were allowing her to be a part of the group. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. I kind of felt like she wasn't
Mean Girls.
Completely. She wasn't completely Mean Girls.
Which, by the way, we never answered that question. I love Mean Girls.
Okay, good. I thought so. Yeah, I love Mean Girls. Yeah. Okay.
I thought we're you knew friends. That about me, but yeah, I love Mean Girls.
No, I just had to ask. I mean, I don't think it's a movie that would come up in any like conversation we would have, but I just,
yeah, but you know, my safe
side, I didn't assume anything.
My top two favorite rom-com, or my top three favorite rom-coms are what? She's All That, You Got Mail, and the third is up. It's a mystery, you know?
Oh,
it's Better Off Dead. Okay, what?
No. the other thought I had real quick before we wrap it up was that I know you didn't like this movie, New Mutant. I felt like the relationship between Wolfbane and I believe what was her name, Morningstar, was, I thought, a nice relationship that builds without any like preconceptions of like, oh, they're, it's forbidden love. It's, you know,
100%. You know, no, I totally agree with that. What I didn't like about the movie was like the obvious moments. It got not messy. That. Yeah. Oh my God, what is going on?
I really enjoyed that they had just a relationship and there's no tragedy to it. I feel like a lot of gay and lesbian characters that are in movies tend to have tragedy. Right,
it's gotta
like,
be tragedy, something, or it's gotta be over sexualized.
Or forbidden love, or like, you know, it's kind of like they always play around these same tropes. And I was really happy to see just two people that fall in love and are together at the end. This movie, I think, didn't do that. I think they took the steps for it because it had some really nice shots of them just like being friends, laying in bed with each other, very intimate, very well framed, like above them, they were laying in bed sharing music, smoking pot or whatever. Like it was really nice. Ooh. And it seemed intimate and romantic.
I know this one's going a little bit long, but I got to say real quick, one of those moments where like she kind of closes her eyes, what's her name, Helena, and like puts her hand on top of Sookie's hand, and then Sookie kind of does this thing, which is why I'm like, oh man, Sookie's becoming like a fucking great better actress every time I fucking watch her. She kind of does this like face where she's like, ah shit, but then she kind of puts her hand on top of her hand, but she's still kind of, I think if I recall correctly, moves her head the opposite direction, not necessarily towards her, and like just kind of closes her eyes. And I thought that was kind of like a beautiful moment of like reluctant, like, oh, I do kind of like this girl. But that was kind of the moment I started to realize, okay,
right,
she's not
who
she says.
And I thought that was nice subtlety for a character. And I actually kind of like that she's like, I only had one friend.
Yeah. So that's I was like, really finally, relatable. Fuck. It's
relatable.
Cut
it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's. Do you just have any last quick thoughts, final thoughts before we go into ratings?
With everything I've said, I don't think this movie is like a movie you need to skip. I think it's like still pretty fun. It's just that last part might disappoint you. But I mean, I thought it was overall.
I agree with that sentiment. I think that it's a good movie. It's a good movie. I think it gets to, it will. I feel like the ending will probably disappoint some people. Yeah. But I thought that it was overall a very solid direction and written. And I think I'd be interested in whatever Simon Barrett does. I mean, he wrote The Guest, which I fucking loved.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah, he wrote You're Next. I fucking love that movie. That movie's great.
Definitely another guy who I think is, in my opinion, quite hasn't hit a home run yet, but is, he's a very prominent voice in the horror community right now. So, all right, that said. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Seance
6.5 sexy spooky bone. Rolando always makes a face when I do this voice.
Yeah. No, it's because I'm thinking, because I don't like have a reading in mind and I hear yours and I'm like, that sounds right. That actually does sound correct for me as well. I'm also going to give it six sexy spooky bones. There's a lot of S's in there. I can't all enunciate them. Yeah, that's six sexy spooky bones as well. All right, guys and gals and non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to...